In the context of these verses, my thought of my verse has to do with bestowing my goods to feed the poor. And likewise that, he says, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I don't want to downplay the idea of giving goods or even that of the bestowing of one's body. Fact is, Jesus encouraged that. In the scriptures, I couldn't help but notice that there was places whereby, and I'll say more about it in a few moments, whereby that Jesus encouraged someone that they might give. Even come to the place on occasion whereby that he might rebuke those that did not or did not give enough. And so it's not a negative in talking about someone and giving to, and he used the reference in verse 3, he says, though I bestow all my goods. And we made mention of this before. That's everything. That's all my goods. That's everything I've got. He said, if I give everything I've got to feed the poor, but without charity, he said, that's nothing. And then secondly, he said this, and he says, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I made this point before, but I need to at least reemphasize it one more time. If I give all my goods, that's all I have. If I give my body, that's all I'm ever going to have, because that's the end of my life, as he's depicting in the scripture. So I look at it like this. There's basically three reasons to which people would give. That we give for him, we give for them, or we give for me. So if you look at those, and they are those, and praise the Lord for them, they give because of Christ. They want to be a blessing. They believe the Lord would have them to be a blessing, and they give, and their giving is not because necessarily that someone deserves it. They're not giving necessarily because that someone has made a plea, but they're giving because they believe that's what the Lord would have them to do. So they're giving because of him. And then there's those that give because of them. That's the ones that they're giving in behalf of. If he's made the reference to feed the poor, and there's much said about that in the scripture. We'll not take the time this evening to run all those verses, but he did make reference on more than one occasion talking about those of those that were poor. Fact is, even Judas got upset about the poor. You might remember there was someone who came along and offered a gift unto the Lord, unto the Savior, and he would complain. He would start the other disciples into complaining because he thought a waste had been made in bestowing this on the Lord. I assure you, it's never a waste when it's bestowed in the direction of the Lord. But in the context of these verses that I'm looking at, I thought, well, if I'm giving because of him, praise the Lord for that. And it's not necessarily a negative if you're giving in behalf of them. Because in reality, there's people, and I'm going to tell you, I look at, we grew up poor when I, as growing up, and to be honest with you, I never thought much about it because everybody was poor. And you didn't, there wasn't very many people around in our area, but what wasn't poor? Everybody was poor. And so we just didn't think much about it, but that's changed somewhat in these days. It's not necessarily like that now. There is those that are poor, and my heart still goes out to them, and I sympathize with them. But I'll have to tell you, it's not quite like it was when I grew up. Again, if everybody's poor, then it doesn't really make much difference. Because, I mean, you're as happy as you can be. Everybody else is too. We don't know the difference. And so now we're at a stage whereby we the distinction is more real, I think, in this then time, of those that are poor. And so in the context of those that would give in behalf of them, I have to say it's an honorable thing to give in behalf of those that are hurting, those that are struggling, those that are suffering. I'd say it's an honorable thing to give to help them. And I believe that the Lord is pleased with it. He's not saying in verse 3 that they've sinned because they've bestowed their goods. He's not saying that they've sinned because they've bestowed their body to be burned. He's not complaining because of the gift. He's only emphasizing the fact that they missed what they were giving for. And so, and then there's the last one, of course, if I give for me. We could emphasize that from the scripture, but it's really not my text, so I don't really want to spend much time there. We could talk about those as the Pharisees would do, who would give because people were watching. Or we're looking. I grew up in a church, and our pastor that we had in those days. I was a kid back then, but I always marveled. If he needed to raise money, he'd just stand in the pulpit, and he'd say, "We need to raise $2,000 for this." He'd say, "Who'll give me?" And man, they'd just start, they'd start raising hands that he got his money. And I thought, wow, that's amazing that he'd do that. Now, I've never tried that. That might work. I may have to try that someday. But it worked for him. But sometimes in that attitude or in that atmosphere, if you're asking for a gift, if this person gives, then it prompts someone else to give because they did. And whether you realize, listen, Barnabas had some property and there was a need. And so he would offer his property to be sold and the monies to be spent for the church and to help for the need. That was an honorable thing. But then others would be listening. I dare say they was probably a family by the name of Ananias and Sapphira who noticed the recognition that Barnabas got because that he gave. And people say, you know that Barnabas, man, he is a great, great man. I mean, he bestowed what he had. He gave that money. And people are probably talking and you say, well, you're emphasizing too much and there's not enough scripture for that. Well, I'll say this for you, if that's the way you would view it. If Ananias come up with the idea somewhere that they would give some money. And since Barnabas is the only one that I know of that emphasis was put on, it had to be him. So they decide that they will give some property. And you know, I've thought about it many times, and looking at that scripture, I thought, here they have a parcel of ground. Maybe it's I don't know if it's got a house on. I don't know nothing about that other than they had something that they wanted to bestow. And they sold. And I thought, sort of like the fellow who went out to the golf course on Sunday. He was supposed to have been in church and he went on Sunday and he gets up there and he hits the best drive he ever hit. And the ball flies, I'm telling you, it's the straightest shot he ever had. It hits the green and it rolls all the way across it and comes and drops into the hole. And man, he just jumps up and down. He's so excited. He said, "That's the greatest shot I've ever had." And they said that one of the angels looked over at the Lord and said, "Why did you let him do that?" And said, "Who's he going to tell?" Yeah. Well, I get that, so but the idea of bestowing goods or giving and helping people and doing things is magnificent. Ananias and them, they sold the property. I thought it comes up for sale. Maybe it's an auction and this one's bidding and this one's bidding. And maybe they get in a bidding war and man, it went high and that property sold. And they thought, you know, I never dreamed to bring that much. And they're thinking, and now a property that we thought would have brought $10,000, that thing went and brought $20,000. Said, you know, we could keep half of it. Go ahead and give 10 and nobody would be the wiser. And so he and his wife together decided, we'll give this. They were not giving because of him. They were not giving because of them. They were giving for their own personal idea. The Pharisees had the same problem. Jesus talked to them about that issue of giving as a result so that people might see them and praise them and give recognition to them because of what they've done. So there's a danger if you're giving just because it satisfies something about you. The idea, though, in my verse that I really want to deal with has to do with the actual bestowing of these goods and the giving of his body if they had had charity. I mean, I know it's presented in the negative, but I want to present it in the positive. Because that's what this whole chapter is about, trying to encourage people that they might give and that they might have a part in taking this. So I looked at the verse and I started thinking about those. I emphasized already concerning the fact that the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians 4, he talked about all those things that he had gave pertaining to himself, the endurance and the things that had been put upon him as a result of the ministry there. So Paul had said that, but there's many other places where Paul would speak of things. For example, I love Philippians 3, verse 8 through 13 reads this way. He says, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss." Now, that's the same concept that we have in verse 3, "though I bestow all my goods." Paul said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. The value that Paul had placed upon the things in his life has greatly changed. All of a sudden now, those things mean nothing. Christ means everything. Oh, other places he said this, and I love it. That verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Paul said, the things that I once felt was important to me, the things that I once looked and expected and hoped for, he said, none of those things mean anything anymore. He said, now I have a new goal. He said, now I have a new vision. I'll say that charity does that too. Charity changes all that. I love what Paul said in Galatians. He wrote to the believers there. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, the life that I had, the life that was before, he says, I no longer have that life. The life I have now is the life of Christ living through me. Can I tell you today, it is impossible for you to have charity. For you to have charity. It's impossible. Can't do it. The only way you can have charity that he's mentioning here. Last night, Brother Tim did something. I was pleased he did that. He read the entire chapter, chapter 13, and he took out charity and he put Christ in everywhere. And as he's reading over it, it just reconfirmed again the things I was already looking at. Because I thought, you know, there's no way I can have that charity that I need to have unless it be Christ in me. And the concept of what we're looking at in verse 3, if you're going to be able to bestow your goods to be a blessing to the poor, it'll have to be because of Christ. If you're going to bestow your body, if you're going to give your life in response to these things, then it'll have to be about Christ. And since Paul set us an example of that, but Paul had an example. Fact is, Paul had learned, he had learned some things. I believe he learned much of it after the fact. Because Paul's ministry, he got called as an apostle, you almost could say late, even though God was right on time. But from Paul's perspective, he was one called out of due season. Because he felt like the season for the calling of those apostles had already passed, and then he gets called. And so in the concept of Paul, different things affected Paul's life in response. Listen, Paul even quoted from part of the sermon that Stephen had preached when he was standing there and they put Stephen to death and Paul's holding their garments as they're going to stone him. Paul is listening to what Stephen's got to say. And then later on, after Paul is engaged in the ministry in full swing, we'll find he's never forgot those things. Fact is, they weigh heavy on him. He would even reference a time that he was chief of sinners. I'm sure he felt like he was. I dare say that the guilt of the blood of those to whom he had shed, even though he was forgiven, even though he did those things not knowing, and even though we could almost say he did all those things ignorantly, because he did not realize that he was fighting against God until God got his attention. So I look at Paul and I say, man, Paul, You learned a lot. You learned it quickly and so forth. But let's consider for a moment the greatest example of charity in all is Christ himself. Because we're talking about giving. He said to bestow. Bestow is a part of giving. He then uses the word. He says, though I give my body. So I want to talk to you about the ministry of Christ for a moment. And that to which he gave. I believe that the giving of Christ was definitely charity. I definitely believe that charity was in full picture and in full view as Christ was giving his sacrifice. The Bible would tell us of things. Again, I told you that there were those that Christ had encouraged in his earthly ministry. He encouraged them to give. There was a certain rich man, if you would, in Mark chapter 10. Jesus beholded him, loved him, the Bible said. And the Bible said in verse 21, he said unto him, he said, one thing thou lackest. He says, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. You say, well, he told him to give, and he didn't tell him he had to give with charity. But Christ told him this. He said, go and sell whatsoever you have and give to the poor. But then he said, and come and follow me. Let me tell you, he was challenged in the area where he lived, and he knew it. And of course, we know that that didn't work out so good for the young man, though he sure was given a tremendous opportunity. Another thing I noticed, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 33, he says, sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags, that which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches nor moth corrupteth. He even took notice of a certain woman in Mark chapter 12, beginning verse 42. The Bible calls her a certain poor widow. Bible says she threw in two mites, which make a farthing, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her wont did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You know, I look at it and I'll think, I know the Lord doesn't measure like we do. He looks at giving totally different than we do. He didn't look at how much, he was not concerned with how much this woman gave. He was concerned about how much she had left. Now, there's those who would believe perhaps that she left that room broke and she died starving, etc. I'll never believe that. When I get to heaven, this is one of those people that I want to look up. I want to know what happened when she walked out of that temple. That's what I want to know. I just want to know her story. I want to hear it because it'd be a good opportunity just to get to rejoice with her up there in heaven. So what I'm saying is that Jesus encouraged giving, but then he set the precedent for what giving really is. And in saying that, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. So we're talking about someone now who is bestowing, who has set aside their riches and became poor for these people. That's what charity is. That's what verse 3 is. That's someone practicing this. Someone who was rich, someone had great wealth, and they set that aside as that is now no longer nothing. And this is my object. And so that's what Christ did. The Bible says this. The Bible says, for yet for your sakes he became poor. But he adds to that. The Bible says that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Not only was Christ poor, the Bible speaks of his poverty. It's interesting the fact that Christ's earthly ministry of the things to which he owned. I mean, if you think about it, listen, they put him in a borrowed tomb. The things that he owned, if we take even of that of his robe, and that they would gamble for his robe, as far as I know, there's no distinction made of any other property to which he had. I look at it and I'll say, well, the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's saying for you and I, if we're going to let that mind be in us, that's saying that we need to be willing to give of ourselves and through ourselves to the point that Christ did, even if it be to our life. So in the concept of verse 3, I'll say there's a cost involved. Literal possessions, things, if you will. It will cost you things. If you're going to be a Christian, it'll cost you things. If you're going to try to live for the Lord, it will cost you things. There's a labor as well. There's a labor of love that's mentioned in the context of these verses. And oftentimes, it'll be without appreciation. Much of what you will do, well, if you're doing it in the context of what we're looking at, you'll never get a thanks in this life. If you bestow the goods, if you give, you'll probably never receive the notice in this world. But thank goodness somebody else keeps records better than ours. So I'm thankful for that. So there's a literal possessions that's gave up. There's a labor of love invested, and there's a life probably going to be cost. Because in the concept of these verses that I've talked to you about, most of the time we're actually talking about the end of one's life before it's done. It was true of Paul. It was definitely true of Christ. And it's even emphasized that you and I might have the same goal in mind. Christ gave. He gave much. You start looking through the scripture and the Bible starts talking about the gifts or that Christ bestowed. It'll say things like this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, talks about husbands loving their wives. He says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Galatians 2:20, I've read this verse earlier, but the last part of that verse says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So there was Christ gave. And then he would emphasize in other places in Isaiah 50 and verse 6, the Bible says that Christ gave his back to the smiters. He gave his cheeks to those that would smite him as well. Those that would pluck out his beard. Isaiah 53 would go into great detail talking about the gift to which Christ was bestowing. In Isaiah 53, there is a reference made pertaining to the gift bestowed. And if I start reading in verse 4, the Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So I look at it and I say, what did Christ pay? He paid it all. That little song Lester Roloff used to sing. Lester Roloff was the best, worst singer I ever heard. I'm telling you, he's great. You listen to it when it starts, and you'll say, that fella can't sing a lick. And you'll let him get through about two songs. You say, man, I really like that. And so it really changes, you know. It wasn't necessarily about his voice. It was about his heart. Man, he really enjoyed what he was singing. And so charity come into the picture. I said that there's a cost involved. It'll cost you what you have. It'll probably cost you who you are. And it'll probably cost you your life before it's done if you practice charity. In order to practice charity, it must be Christ in you. And then there's something else that I noticed, and it's true of everyone that I've mentioned already. There's a joy anticipated. See, this, if you say, well, why would anyone bestow all this? And why would anyone do all these things? There's an expectation involved. There is something we expect. I'll never, and listen, I know that this has been so abused through the years that I almost hesitate to mention it. I do expect a reward for giving. Now, I'm not in this, if you give, you'll get. And people use that, you know, you can't outgive God and try to challenge somebody to give and all that kind of stuff. Listen, I'm not trying to go there. But what I am wanting you to understand that everything that you give, God takes note of. If he took note of that little poor widow's casting in two mites, which make a farthing, I mean, if he's going to pay attention to that. And then he called his disciples over and he said, this woman has cast in more than all of them. And I dare say they were probably some of the wealthy who had came in that day. And they probably saw Jesus standing there next to the treasury. And they wanted to impress him. And so they decided to tip really good that day. And so they put in what they did and Jesus took note of it. I dare say I doubt he even smiled. I'd say he just stood there in his normal casual look and he watched and noticed in a few moments this woman comes by. And I dare say that when she stepped over to that box, when she smiled, I've got a feeling he smiled. What I'm saying is today that we're looking at and we're thinking about those that would bestow. I said there's an anticipation involved. Paul would make a reference pertaining to this in his own regarding himself when he talked about that I might know Christ. He went on and talked about all the things that he was desirous to do. But listen, Paul already knew Christ. And then he started talking about these things. And I looked at those verses and I thought, Paul, what are you talking about? You've been saved a long time. You've been active in the ministry for a long time. What are you really telling us? And then I get to looking at it and I thought, you know, Paul was not content to just be a Christian. He wasn't content there. He wasn't racing no one else. A lot of people's in the Christian race and they think they're racing their brother.
Right.
And they're out to outdo them. But I'm going to tell you, that's not who you're racing. Your race is your race. You're not racing no one else. No one else has your advantage. Plus, you don't have nobody else's advantage either. So I look at it and I thought, well, there's the joy anticipated. I love this verse of scripture. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Our Bible is telling us something that was Christ's passion. What was his passion? It was to give his life for you and me. That was his passion. That's what he came for. What should I say? Should my soul be troubled? This is why he came to this world. He wasn't worried that he was going to Calvary. He knew that when he came. Jesus wept. We could start looking at those verses. One day he walked out to the city and he overlooked the city. And the Bible says that he wept. He looked at them and he says, oh, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks. And you would not. And our Bible said that he wept. And then we find that later he would enter on in and he would end up in Bethany. And he'd end up where Mary and Martha and their brother was. And their brother would die and they would send word and Jesus would come. And Jesus, listen, he gets challenged by Martha. He gets challenged by Mary. He says, where have you laid him? They take him out to the garden. They take him out to the graveyard to where that they had the tomb to where Lazarus was. And the Bible said that Jesus wept. But he was not weeping because Lazarus was dead. He'll fix that in a minute. He knows that. That has nothing to do with why he's weeping. But all those people that are looking on and they're measuring and evaluating the situation and they're looking at the disappointment because Christ was not there when he should have been. And they're looking at the benefit of what it is to be a Christian. I mean, don't pay to be a Christian. I mean, Christ has been in their home many, many times. And look, they sent for him and he lets them down. But that's not what happened. Instead, then he would command that Lazarus come forth, and he would. But the Bible had said that Jesus wept. And I thought, man, you talk about having a heart of charity. That was Christ. He tarried intentionally for two more days before he started that journey back. I dare say that weight on him happened to wait 2 days. He was waiting for the glory of God. He knew that they would be more honor for God to wait 2 days before he returned than it would be if he went back instantly and as soon as he died, raised him back up. No, it was much better this way. One more thing. I'm almost done. Hebrews chapter 12. Wonderful passage of scripture. I love this chapter. Bible says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then the Bible would say, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, wait a minute. Our Bible just said, who for the joy that was set before him, the sacrifice that Christ would bestow was going to bring a joy that was greater than the burden he had to endure. One last thing. Verse 3, of the same chapter. He says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself,
right,
lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If you want to know if it's worth it to give, I'll tell you, in personal appearances from those that are looking on, no, not worth it. If you're giving in faith, it's worth it. It's worth it. The gift bestowed will enlarge beyond what you ever imagined. You say, well, what do you think it'll be? I don't have a clue. I'm hoping the Lord don't pay us in gold. I mean, after all, that's what the streets is made of. So who would want a yard full of asphalt, right? So surely the Lord wouldn't pay us in gold. I dare say that there's treasures that you and I cannot imagine. And for those that would bestow with a heart of charity, and as I told you in the beginning, it's impossible for me and you to give in this capacity. I don't possess that ability. The only way for me to do this is that I say, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I can't. I can't. I don't know what to give, and I don't know how to give. Lord, you'll have to help me. And so if I just leave it with him, and then as he directs my heart, I'll say, you know, I'll owe me a little faith. I'd say, Lord, is that what you want me to do? Okay. The idea is this. I say this and I'm done. He says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The Lord had told that man to go and sell what he had, and he says, come and follow me. And Jesus said, and you shall have reward in heaven. You shall have treasure in heaven. So there is a reward for him to give. But in the context of what we're looking at this chapter, he says, if you're not giving for the right reason, listen, for the Pharisees that would give that people might praise them because of that, he said, you have your reward. He didn't say there wasn't a reward. He said, you've already got it. They were giving to impress men. He said, you've already got it. Hope it was enough. The reality of it is, if we give because that's what would please the Lord, then God is honored. God gets glory. And you and I, best for us, it not even be known. Some of the best giving that you can ever do. I love having a box in the back. I wanted to go to a box in the back for, I hated passing plates. Our church, that was just tradition for them. For me to get rid of those plates, I thought, I'm going to have one more bite. And then guess what? We had a pandemic. It was awesome. Nobody wanted to pass a plate. I said, praise the Lord, we'll put a box in the back. We put a box in the back. Somebody said, when are we going to start passing plates? I said, that's never going to happen no more. I said, it took a pandemic to get rid of them things. Why would we ever get them back out? The idea is this. If you're counting on someone to make you give, if you're expecting someone to shame you into giving, if you're looking for that kind of motivation, you've done missed it. Because that's not what he wants you to have. He wants you to put Christ in your heart and to give because that God blessed you so.
Amen. God.